good, wasn't it?
Well, I'm telling you, I enjoy people when they stand to sing and they not only know what they sing, they feel what they sing, they believe what they sing. For some reason, I think she believed that. Amen? You know what? We need to believe it as well. Well, it's my privilege to introduce to you tonight Evangelist Freddie Reed. For those of you that do not know, he doesn't resemble Brother Sam much. He told me, he said, Brother Sam, drying up. He's going to blow away. He told me, Brother Sam, he said, you know, you losing weight and stuff, that is not a Reed custom. He said, that's you're doing something totally out of the norm here. And I don't know what he meant by that. I just said that just so Brother Sam would feel bad about losing all that weight. But Brother Reed's going to come. He's going to be our special guest all week long. He'll preach for us tonight, Wednesday night, and next Sunday morning, and then they'll be moving on to the next church. And then he will be bringing a charge to our soul winners tomorrow morning, tomorrow night, and then each morning, each evening, before we go out, kind of get us pumped up, ready to go. And listen, this guy believes in personal evangelism. Person to person, door to door, confrontational, soul winning. You say, preacher, why are you so adamant about that? Because you know how I was reached? By person to person, door to door, confrontational, soul winning. Somebody, they kept coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back to my door. Listen, the first two men that came from this church to come soul winning, I told them, I said, no, I'm Pentecostal, and that's it. Click. Do you know next Thursday night, they came back again? And the next Thursday night, now see, they shouldn't have kept coming the same night on the same time because I have figured them out, like some of you did. Amen? You figured out what time they come, and you knew just about what time that you need to either be gone or have the TV set off. Amen? But I'm telling you, thank God for people who would not give up. Amen. And stayed after me and stayed after me and stayed after me. Listen, folks, this is the plan to reach the world, and that's personal soul winning. Not a greater person that I believe in that believes in reaching the world. He travels all over the country going soul winning. During the summertime, he'll have some young people. Here's a couple of young people that travel with him. He's got more than this. And by the way, I want to say a word of thanks to those of you that opened your home up to Miss Wido. And it looks like we've got everything set and for her place to stay. But those of you that did call me, I did get your message, and I've got you on the list just in case. All right? But thank you for opening your home up. I'm excited to have Brother Freddie Reed, our evangelist for the week, to come and preach to us. Brother Freddie, God bless you. Welcome to Trinity Baptist Church.
Come on, brother.
Come preach to us. God
bless you, brother.
Appreciate you.
What an honor to be here. If you have a Bible, open up to Psalm chapter 23. Psalm chapter 23. This may be the most famous psalm in the Bible and scripture in the Old Testament. Psalm 23, you want to look at a scripture there. And then also in your New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It is an honor to be here tonight, I promise you. We look forward to this. And we have been on the road. We're so glad to be back home. And we have been out of state in four different states in the last 2 weeks, not even right. And New Mexico, Colorado, and then over in Mississippi and Alabama, and that way, Louisiana, going through Louisiana, and seeing people saved. And we'll be telling you some about what happened. And I brought a couple of teenagers with me that traveled. We had 11 of them with us, and just dropped off a bunch of them over the weekend, getting ready to come here. But there's a special story that goes with both of these young people. And I wanted them to be here tonight, and you might could meet them, shake their hand afterwards. And we appreciate them going with us out in the hot sun. The Bible says, and this applies to everybody, Proverbs 10:4. You don't have to turn there, but it says, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. Amen? That's a good verse right there. That'll slap you upside the head. He that gathers in summer is a wise son. So you're smart when you go soul winning and you get people and you stay busy in the summer. Amen? Sounds like summertime is harvest time. He that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causes shame. And so we encourage young people, college-age students, and this time we went different. We tried to recruit some from the Bible colleges and stuff, and they all came, teenagers came. I was really worried, man. I mean, 2.5 weeks ago when we started, I said, man, we've got nothing but teenagers. I told my wife, I said, how are we going to do it? And, you know, you guys, y'all, you know, you got to understand, you give yourself a black eye on stuff. You know, you give yourself a little bit of a reputation. But there's some good ones out there. You just got to hunt them down a while, amen? And they say if you want to stay young, work with youth. If you want to die young, keep working with them, amen? And so, man, I looked in back. You know, and the Lord gave us this bus to go down the road with, and I looked in my rearview mirror, Brother Laster, and I promise you, you know, a bus driver is the only guy in the world who's got all his troubles behind him. Amen? And I'm looking, I'm saying, oh, my soul, you would not believe. And I'll tell you a little bit about it tonight. I wanted them to be here, and I'm glad they came. And one of them's going to stay all week, Lord willing. But I wanted to let you hear the story. And we just had... And I've been waiting for it and praying for it, and it's always good if it starts to happen. We just had revival where we just came from. And these young people, they were a part of it. They started it, and I like somebody that's going to start something, amen? Amen. I don't know how it all turns out, but I like somebody that'll get in there and get the gloves on and start it. They started it, and Charles Finney said he did not know. He was called the Great Revivalist. He said, I've never known a revival in the history of the world or in the Second Great Awakening that wasn't started by a teenager. Amen? So I don't want to sell y'all short. I really don't. If you're a young person, God can use you greatly if you'll surrender to Him. People just kind of naturally despise you because you're younger. You know, if you're 15, you look at somebody 9 years old, you think they don't know nothing. If you're a 9-year-old and you're that age in here tonight, you see a 4-year-old, you think they don't know a thing. I'm 9. I know it all. You know, they'll know that's a 13-year-old. If you're 21, you think a teenager don't know. But you know, the Bible says, let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believer in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. In other words, if you're a young person, God can use you greatly. Actually, to maybe see adults under conviction and bring revival to the nation. And you got a lot of faith, Brother Freddie. That white eyebrow side, you know, you ain't real balanced here tonight. You're a little slow. You think teenagers, hey, man, I believe in them. I think you young people, I don't think it's an accident y'all went to camp this week. I had no idea what your camp theme was. You wait till God's been dealing with me on this sermon for several days now, and I know exactly what I was going to preach Sunday night. I know exactly what I was going to preach. I had no idea what your title in your camp week was. But I believe there's something God's wanting to do with you and next generation. They say this, 13% of America's population is teenagers, but they're 100% of our future. Amen? We need you. We need you to. We ever needed young people to step up and say, hey, put me in the game, coach. Coach Jesus, let me out on the field. I want to score some points. I want to do something for God. I want to make my life count. It's right this moment. We need you. And we're going to be all over you, man. Don't you show up. We're going to get on you. We're going to be encouraging you. We're going to be saying, hey, get it. You college students, you Trinity students, get after it, man. This week is the time for you to shine and be a star. The Bible says you can be a star if you turn many to righteous. And I encourage you tonight, if you have a Bible, look with me. And let's look at the scripture. I'm glad my family's here. My wife just sang, and I married way up. Some of us guys did. I did. And I appreciate your church, Dr. Laster, under your leadership. Last November, my wife, she was 28 weeks last year. It's not good if you're an evangelist and you're off the road. And there's no funds, you know? And you're you know, like you're broke, busted, and disgusted. Amen? Y'all ever been like that? And you're out, and God set us on the sidelines and said, you, Freddie, you come home and you stay by your family. We got 4 kids now, but that when that 4th one started to come along, you know, none of them are easy, I know. But she had what's called a type O blood type, Rh factor, and my little wife, Janie, her blood type reacted against the child, and we almost lost her three different times, just come that close, and blood transfusion, and then the little baby several times, and little David was born 2 months early, November 2nd, and he was 4 pounds, 2 ounces, and he got down to 3 pounds, 5 ounces. He's a little bitty. Now he's full weight like his daddy, amen? Mama's back on the road with us. And we got four of them, and little Andrew, now he's the oldest, and he got, if I can remind you, don't ever play with your cousin, amen? The moral of this thing, he got about 2 months ago, he got hit by a shovel with his cousin. Don't play with your cousin. His cousin's five, and he's, now Andrew had a hoe in his hand, and his cousin had a shovel and just popped him upside the head real good, and Andrew goes to the emergency room, and he's not saved yet. But we're praying for him, amen? He's got something going on in there, and the Lord's working on him. I don't know what age it's the perfect age, but we're just putting him around the book, amen? Seeing what the Lord does. And little Andrew, he goes to the hospital, and he's got, his head's bleeding and everything like that. You know, you got to wait 5 hours in the emergency room. Have y'all been in the same emergency room we have? And you got 6 hours, and your little boy's dying over there, and you think he's going to lose. And, well, he's tough, and, you play with your cousin, you got to be tough. Absolutely, he gets in there, and the doctor finally comes in that Saturday afternoon, and when he does, he says something to my wife about, the blood is bleeding and stuff. You ain't supposed to say that in front of the patient. And Andrew's ready. I mean, he's ready. He said, no, I ain't bleeding no more. I'm good. He said, I didn't bleed very much. And he bled a bunch. And he got a big old gash in his head. They had to give him 12 stitches and everything, and sewed him up and all that. And he said, I didn't bleed very much. I'm over it. He said, Jesus bled all his blood for you, sir, so you wouldn't have to go to hell. So you could go to heaven. And boy, that nurse, she jumped in there. She said, I'm already a Christian. Amen? She put her on. That doctor turned white as a ghost. And he got after. You ain't got to be very old to put it out. And he's tough. And so we got two little girls and two little boys and the tough little family. And we love reaching souls. And that's all we do. It's my favorite thing in the world. We got a thing going now with the public schools we'll tell you about this week, but I don't want to get sidetracked. And last time we was here, had a thing about Joe Boyd, Dr. Joe Boyd, and Dr. Carl Hatch. Those are my two heroes. And everywhere we go, people say, talk about Joe Boyd. They say, he used to take the preacher boys around with him. You need to do it the way he did it. So we asked questions. And Carl Hatch, he was my mentor. He put it on me, man. He lay hands on me and say, boy, you better win them. And y'all remember Carl Hatch. And Lord, we've been praying for 4 years now the Lord would get us inside the public schools, and he's doing it. And it's just a flat-out miracle. We're going in and doing assemblies, and we just finished one about a month ago. We was in 18 public schools in El Dorado, Arkansas, where my home church is. Dr. Weedo's my pastor. We was in 18 public schools in 4 days. Then we did a big rally super event on Thursday night, rented out a big 5A, 6A gym, and had 1,300 young people showed up. And this young man that travels with me, it's just a miracle we got him. And he traveled with Joe Boyd, preacher, 4 years. He went to Hiles Anderson 2 years, and Dr. Boyd called Dr. Hiles and said, that guy that's in your college named Jason, you got any boy in your college named Jason? He said, yeah, I probably got more than one. He said, I want that boy Jason Gibbons all year. He said, he's in your school now. He said, I'd like to have him travel with me from January to December. And Jason became Joe Boyd's personal assistant. Joe Boyd had a big thing with football. He's big 6'7", 6'8". He's All-American number one draft pick. Well, Jason, he didn't know what all the Lord's going to do with him. And he works now for the Boston Celtics Developmental League team. And y'all have heard of that team, right? And he works for a team called the Maine Red Claws and does what's called Showtime Basketball. He can do all the dunks. He goes into public school. He can do any dunk you want. He goes in there. He spins 3 basketballs at one time. I can't do it. I dribble it off my foot. That boy can do it. He just broke the Wolves record for shooting the most half-court shots backwards blindfolded. Just got it in a... And NBA All-Star Weekend, 2 of the last 3 weekends. And then he plays for a team called the Harlem Superstars, the the Globetrotters been trying to hire him. He's the only white player they ever hired. That boy, they call him White Shadow. He's white. He can play. He's got all the moves like a one-man Globetrotter team. And he told me, I talked to him today, he's praying for this meeting right now. We go in the public schools with him year-round now, and he goes in there and does assemblies. And then he said, Brother Reed, I'm called to the ministry, but I'm not called to preach. He said, it puzzled me for a long time. And he said, I'm called, I never heard anybody say it that way. He said, I'm called to the ministry, but I'm not called to preach. He said, you're called to preach. He said, I tell you what I'll do, I'll help get them to the rally. You preach. I ain't going to pass him up on that deal, amen? And he's had the right training, the right, and he's way up in Maine, man, and we work together. The Lord's put us together to try to reach America. We want to see public school teenagers. You pray for us. I ain't going to probably say much more about it this week because we throw nets. We're learning how to throw nets in the school year, but we like rod and reel fishing, amen? And this is what we're going to do this week is go rod and reel fishing. Ain't nothing like the sport of rod and reel fishing, amen? Just go out. I mean, if you're a preacher, you like to preach to the 90 and 9, amen? But God says, hey, are you faithful to preach to the one? I challenge you, if you're a young preacher, God's called you to preach. You like to preach in a... don't get too big to preach on a bus. Amen? This is all free. It's nothing... we ain't even got to the text yet, amen? Don't be too good to go preach to somebody in a skateboard park. Amen? It ain't always got to be behind a pulpit. I never get up there hardly much. Here's the deal. Get them one at a time. If you'll get enough one at a time, what the Lord will do, he'll let you be preaching in front of the 90 and 9. And I love going after those nets. We're praying. We want to see America reached. Whatever it takes, whatever's got to happen. We've been working together. I think basketball, God can use a guy, the basketball, he used Moses. He had a rod in his hand. What's that in that hand? The Lord can use something like that and get the attention of young people and get them to come and then invite them out to part two and you drop the bomb. But you know what? God wants us to have a track in our hand. Amen. He wants all of us to have a New Testament in our hand. Amen. God wants us to knock on the doors. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I want you to look at the scripture tonight and let's just ask God to speak to our hearts. Look at Psalms 23, verse 5. I'm feeling some preaching rolling around. I'm just not even got the introduction. We got to get after it. Psalm 23, look at verse number 5. Psalm 23, verse 5. Look at this. It says, David says this, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Notice these scriptures. I didn't know the song leader was going to sing something about fill my cup, Lord. I didn't know you was going to have a theme at camp about is it in you? Is that what y'all's about this week? Is it in you? We're going to find out tonight. Amen. Notice David said here, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Up in the mountains of Carolina, they say it like this. They say you want to be underneath the spout where the glory's coming out. Amen? You got that? Y'all get it. Some of y'all, it takes you a little while. You'll get it in a couple of days. Hey, they say this. They say, is your cup running over? They ask, is your cup running over? If your cup's running over, when it runs over, the saucer will get a blessing. Amen? And if it keeps running over, the saucer will get, the cup gets a blessing, obviously. But I'm talking about what's around you. And the saucer gets a blessing. And if the cup keeps running over, it spills out and it gets all over the table. And the table gets a blessing. Amen? Y'all see where we're going with this? Hey, listen. The Bible said the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that's given unto us. I'm talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. This thing talks about, David said, thou anointest. He was just a teenager when he wrote the 23rd Psalm. And he looked out there and he said, Lord, I've got all these little sheep and I got to take care of them when they're sleeping. I'm watching over them. But he said, Lord, you're my shepherd. And he said, Lord, my cup runs over. He didn't wait till he got 85, 90 and hobbled on a cane down to an altar and got right with God and asked God to use him. He surrendered early and he said, early will I seek thee. And he said, Lord, I want my cup. My cup's been running over. and you've anointed my head with oil. And boy, what God did with that young man. God could do it with you. Is your cup running over? Take your Bible and look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Then we're going to read this verse and we're going to pray and take off. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at verse number, if you would, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. Well, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Stay with me. I'm reading this verse. I'm reading this passage. I love these scriptures here. They're powerful verses, even about soul winning. But I'm reading that verse, and I'm reading verse 7. And Dr. Lash, I get down to verse 7, and I'm saying, there's something in that. I don't understand it, but there's something good in that verse right there. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I want to preach a message to you tonight entitled this, The Only Thing Holding the Gospel Back. The only thing holding the gospel back. Let's bow our heads and pray before we begin. Father, we come to you tonight in Jesus' name, thanking you for your precious Son. Lord, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Father, I pray tonight that your Holy Spirit would walk up and down these aisles and lift Jesus Christ up, magnify him. Please cover us under his blood. Wash us, give us a bath inside, and send us out of here to do a work for you in these last days. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. The only thing, I know of only one thing that's holding the gospel back. It says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Let's get with it. If you're going to find out what the treasure is in verse 7, before you haul off and say, oh, well, I know what the treasure is. Let's just take a little time to do a little treasure hunting right here. Before you decide what it is, let's read a little bit and find out what the context says. Amen? You might get a hint right there. Stay with me. Let's just do it in case you didn't do no Bible reading all weekend. Let's get a little bit done right here, all right? Look at the treasure. Let's see what the treasure is that's inside the earthen vessel. Look what it says, verse number 3. It says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You know what I think the treasure is, preacher? I think the treasure tonight is the gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of salvation. I believe it's inside of an earthen vessel. And I believe if we're saved, we have that treasure inside of us. You don't want to get it all locked up. You don't want to stuff it. We've got it, and they need it. And the Bible says over there, Paul says in Thessalonians, he said, as we were allowed to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Stay with me. Not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. There's no doubt about what the treasure is from the context. The treasure is the gospel that we have. You say, Brother Reed, I don't really know how to tell somebody how to get saved. If you're saved, you're lying. Because somebody told you how to get saved. You had to know, or you wouldn't be going to heaven. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You don't want to be ashamed of it. We got something on the inside, and we don't need to hide it. I talk to a man out on the street. I usually think of this 20 minutes later after I'm driving down the road. But it just came out, and I said, he said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And I said, I am. He kind of did a double take, and he said, no, really, you ought to be ashamed of yourself out here in front of people in public. And you, I said, I absolutely am. And he looked at me, my soul winning partners looked at me too. They do a lot of times. And he said, you ought to be ashamed. I said, I told you I am. I am ashamed of myself. But you don't understand. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I can't be ashamed of the information somebody gave me that told me how to get to heaven. And boy, he's right back in his lap. Amen. He wasn't expecting that. Hey, listen, there's an answer. Hey, listen, you know what the treasure is tonight? It's the gospel. But it's a stinking, crying shame. A lot of people have written on their lives what's on the inside of the songbook here. Please do not remove from the auditorium. Hey, man, our real Christianity starts after we get outside. Our job is as pastors and evangelists and teachers over in Ephesians 4 is to edify the saints, to build up the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. In other words, we're not putting out lazy people. We're supposed to fire you up and push your buttons. You're supposed to have a week every year where somebody comes in and rip faces and steps on your face sometime and gets you in the heart and gives you a good gut check and say, you need to get out and go get them. Your pastor needs to do that, and evangelists are called to do that. Now, unfortunately, a lot of them don't do it. But we need that. We need somebody firing us up for the work of the ministry. I believe this. I believe the treasure is absolutely the gospel. When I got that info, and I realized I was 12 years old, and I knew I was going to hell, but all of a sudden, the preacher, who's my dad, it's his Father's Day, he's in heaven watching right now. My dad got up on a Sunday morning and preached a message on hell, and somewhere in that message, late in the game, he said, Jesus died for sinners. And it hit me as a 12-year-old pre-teenager, that's it. It's like a light came on. Somebody took my place. Jesus took my place. Jesus suffered my hell. Jesus paid for my sins. And that's the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and was buried and rose again the third day. And he's alive and he wants to come in your heart. And all of a sudden I realized I didn't have to pay for my sins. Somebody already did. Jesus loved me and I ran to that altar. I've been accountable ever since that day to tell people that gospel. I believe it's a treasure. We got it inside an earthen vessel. Look at verse number 4 and you'll see what the treasure is. Verse number 4. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world. Now notice this is little G-O-D. This is not God Almighty. This is Satan. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know what I believe the gospel is? In verse 3, it's the God, or the treasure is the gospel. In verse 4, the treasure is the light. You see it? The treasure in verse 4 is the light. We got something inside of us, and it's called the light. It says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil wants to keep people in the dark. You know what he wants you to do? If you're saved, he basically wants to do one of two things. He either wants you to shut your mouth, and you're helping the devil if you do. If you had the gospel, he wasn't happy about you getting saved. But if he can keep your mouth closed to everybody around you, he wins. Even though the gospel has the power in it, if you shut up about it, he wins. He's going to hell. He's taking people with him, and he's going to win out. The other thing is he wants you to get the message mixed up. And when you do open your mouth, and he wants you to muddy that thing where they don't see it correctly. Sometimes we get out there and we think, I've always thought it was wrong, brother, to preach when somebody's lost. And I'm against rock t-shirts. I'm against rock music. I'm against contemporary music. Amen? I think Christian rock's like Christian beer. That's what I think. But we ain't supposed to give everything we think. We're supposed to give them the gospel. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually... Are y'all awake tonight? Stay with me now. Neither can he know them, they're spiritually discerned. You start ripping somebody for their rock t-shirt, they don't understand that, they're going to get mad. You know what they need to hear if they're lost? They can basically understand this. They're a sinner. They're going to have to pay for their sins. Their conscience tells them that. They know that. You read it to them out of the Bible. You show it to them. They realize they can understand that Jesus was perfect and paid the debt for them, and that if they trust him, they can go to heaven.
all the rest of the stuff, you start talking to them about Mormonism, you start talking to them about the cults, you start trying to win an argument, you're going to lose a soul. The devil wants you to say too much, or he wants you to say nothing at all. He don't want that light to come out. He uses Christians to get into arguments. We'll go on. I believe it's in verse 3. I believe it's the gospel, that treasure. I believe it's in 4. I believe it's the light. No doubt about it. Look at verse 5. Verse 5, here it is. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. You know what the gospel is? You know what the treasure is? You look at this verse, it ain't you. Some people think they're all that. It ain't you. He said, we preach not ourselves. We ain't nothing. I'm just scum on the bottom of the scum bucket's all I am. I don't deserve to even mention Jesus Christ's name, much less get to give the gospel presentation to somebody like God's given me the opportunity. Are you with me? Hey, listen, we don't preach ourselves. This ain't even about this church. This is about Jesus Christ. I'm so glad. I've been in churches and I never have found the perfect one. I've been the best one I can find, amen, in Texas, amen. And I'm a member of one over in Arkansas. I got the best one I can find over there. Amen. I like churches that are old-fashioned, right-wing, have standards and soul winning and separation and get all that balanced out. I like that. I like churches that are going to reach somebody and get the job done. That's what I'm about. But listen, the best church I've ever been in. I'm so glad I didn't. If you've been in a church for, you first come join a church, everybody there is like a bunch of angels. You've been there in about 6 months and you start wondering whether they are or not. You've been there about a year and you'll think everybody there's a bunch of devils. I didn't say that, but it just fell out. Hey, listen to this. Listen to this. You ain't got to brag about it. I'm not. Hey, listen, tell people about Trinity. Get them in here. The second and third step of the Great Commission is all about the local church. But I'm telling you, we get to go out and talk about somebody perfect. I can talk about Jesus Christ and try to lift him up, and I never can quite get it to come out right. It just, I say he's great, and that just sounds like a cheap word. I say he's wonderful, and that sounds like a dirty word. Hey, listen, the Bible says you can't put it in words. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. You know what the treasure is, what's on the inside? It's Jesus Christ. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's inside of us. For God, verse 6, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's just stay with me now. Let's just get this. Make sure we don't miss this. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. You know what you are? According to the Bible, you're the darkness. We're going somewhere. Stay with me. This ain't going to take long. I just want you to Go around the next curve. I don't want to lose you here. Stay with me. You know what you are? Over there when it talks about being spirit-filled in Ephesians 5, be not drunk with wine, but be wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You know what it says right before that? It says, ye who sometimes were darkness. You ever read that? Now are ye light in the Lord. You know what God says you are? Kind of humbling. It's kind of an indictment. God says, you're darkness. You are darkness. What's holding the gospel back? The Bible said, you are darkness. But God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. You know what you are according to the Old Testament, according to the New Testament? You're a cup. You got something on the inside. Is it in you? Is it in you? I heard 3 of y'all got saved this week at camp. That's good. I heard of several other young people got saved this week. It wasn't in them, but now it's in you. The thing about the cup,
We want that cup to run over. We want God to, how many of y'all want God to fill you with the Holy Spirit? Don't you want that? Man, I'd like to see God do that for me. The problem with the cup is the cup's not see-through. Oh, this one's got some water. Some people are walking, or a lot of people are walking out there, around out there, and they say they're Christians, but they don't hold no water. You know who the water is, don't you? It's Jesus Christ. Somebody said, a great missionary said this, said the greatest crime of the desert is knowing where the water is and not telling. That's wicked, man. You're dying out there. And we just came through West Texas, man. We just drove through West Texas coming out of, we was in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and then we was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we came through West Texas. We had to go through there twice. That thing looked like the atomic bomb got dropped on West Texas, the whole part of West Texas. It did like $15 damage. The Russians dropped it, you know. Y'all get that in a minute. And then the tornado went through there. Y'all, those tornadoes hit. A tornado went through West Texas, and it did about $100,000 improvement on the place. Amen? You know what the greatest crime of the desert is? Knowing where the, we got some bottled water for. We went through that part of the world. That's, I don't even want to claim it. There's some good people out there, but I don't know how they live out there in West Texas. Ain't no water out there. You know who Jesus is? He's called the water, and he's called the light. You know what you are in the equation? You're just a cup, and you're not see-through. Wouldn't it be glad, good if everybody you talk to, you ever witness somebody going through the whole plan with them and they get done, and they say, oh, I've already done that. Why didn't you tell me that 15 minutes ago? That's fun, isn't it? I mean, but it's kind of sad. We're really sad that they're already saved. No, I mean, why didn't you tell me that when I came in and first started talking to you? They don't have an S on their forehead. You got to check them out. You got to check them out. You don't know, and they don't know if you are. You going to keep it inside? I want the Holy Spirit to fill me. Here's what the Holy Spirit's trying to do. You heard somebody say this before. I believe this. Just traveling around America, I see it. I think I see it clear. Here's what I believe. I believe the Holy Ghost, fully on John Calvin, scoot over. I believe the Holy Ghost is on the outside of every lost person in America right now trying to get in. Are you with me? Well, go. Y'all shouting a little bit. Y'all ain't shouting. Y'all are laying on me and stuff. You're getting quiet on me. I'm throwing a park here if you don't start backing me up on this. He's on the outside of every lost person in America trying to get in, right? And he's on the inside of every saved person trying to get out. We got something inside. We got something inside that's a treasure. We got something inside that they need. We got something. I got something on the inside. If you don't have something on the inside of you that's so wonderful you can't hardly contain it, you may not be saved. I don't want to hold it in. I don't want them to see me. I'm just a mess. I'm just darkness. All I am, just a vessel. I'm no different than a lost man when it comes to the outside. They don't need me. They need the one that's inside of me. How do we get him out? Some of you, he's all locked up. You know why you're miserable? You know why you're unhappy? It's you're bottled up inside. It's in you. But you need to get him out. The treasure in an earthen vessel. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Is there any illustrations in the Bible about a treasure or a light inside of an earthen vessel? Others, I'm going to give you two illustrations. I'm going to be done. One in the Old Testament, one in the New. In the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, the children of Israel were being oppressed by the Midianites. And you know who God called. That guy that wrote them little Bibles. Amen. God called a man named Gideon. He was threshing wheat, and the Midianites were oppressing the Israelites.
And the Bible said there were so many of them, you couldn't even number them. I'm talking about Midianites. And the Israelite people were discouraged. They were God's people. Something was wrong. And you know what God did? God sent an angel down there and said, "Hail unto thee, thou mighty man of valor." And old Gideon said, "You, here am I, Lord, send somebody else. You got the wrong guy." That's the very leader you want. You don't want a leader that knows he can do it. You want the one God calls to do it. You know what those people had? They had 32,000 men, and it was time for battle. They were sick of those Midianites oppressing them. They had 32,000 men, and they got behind old Gideon. He put out the fleece, you know, and he was a Jew. I think you can do that. I don't know if we're supposed to do that as Gentiles, but I've done it before, amen. But he put out that fleece, and God shows the Jews a sign, you know. And he showed that with Gideon some stuff. Anyway, he finally convinced old Gideon. The people came and got behind old Gideon, and they had 32,000 soldiers. And you know what happened? They thinned out the ranks. The Lord thinned out the ranks. He said, put them to a test. Too many people, too much play. Too many of them are playing around. Too many people, too much play. And they tested that thing, and 22,000 took off in one shebang. And the Lord said, I ain't done yet. I'm going to thin it out a little more. He got him down to 300 that lapped like a dog. And those are some soldiers. They're looking around while they're getting a drink. They're ready to kill somebody, man. They got the killer instinct. And old Gideon, he still didn't believe. And the Lord says, okay, you go up to the camp of the Midianites, and just, they're dreaming in the middle of the night, man. They're dreaming. This guy started sleepwalking or telling his dream. He woke up, and man, I had the most horrible dream. He said, that dream, this guy named Midian, man, he's going to kill all of us before the morning hits, you know. And Gideon goes, maybe the Lord's going to help me. And he got his men together. And you talk about primitive weapons. You talk about medieval weapons. Here was the weapons they were going to use to fight the greatest army in the world. The Jews were going to use trumpets. Y'all got any of them in here? You know, somebody had some stuff up here. I don't know if it was a trumpet. But they had a trumpet, and they had pitchers. I'm talking about Bible tonight, folks. No special illustration, but just Bible. They had pitchers. I'm not talking about something you get with your iPhone. I'm talking about pitchers. Your mama puts lemonade in it or orange juice. This is what we're going to use to fight the Midianites. And what else? Lanterns. Lanterns. You know what I believe? I believe when the Lord got through thinning them out, Dr. Laster, I believe they had the right soldiers. They weren't wanting to play anymore. I mean, buddy, there was, man, we're ready to get this. We're tired of the oppression. We want to see victory. You know what I believe about Trinity Baptist? We follow you from a distance. I hear stuff. We're all watching. See how you're going to do. You know what I believe? I believe we got the right soldiers here. I believe there's some fighters right here in this building. And it ain't over. God may want to do his greatest work right around the corner. He may want to start something this week. I believe we got the right soldiers. I believe we got the right sword. You know what they had to shout? You need to learn to shout, amen? That's part of getting the victory. They had the right shout. They had to shout the sword of the Lord and a Gideon. You know what sword I want to use when I'm fighting? I like to use the one Jesus would use, amen? The Lord used. I believe that's the King James Bible, amen? I believe when he comes back and fights the Antichrist and his armies, he's going to have a sharp sword coming out of his mouth. It's going to be King James 16:11. That's what I believe. You say, you're crazy. No, I believe every word of that. I ain't kidding. I'm not facetious. I mean that. I believe we got the right sword. You know, there's a lot of people, they was confused whether they got the sword of the Lord or not. But Gideon had the one the Lord had. He said, say the sword of the Lord and the Gideon. Isn't it good to have the weapon in your hand that the Lord uses? It's called the Word of God. You're not going to win it without the Word of God. But you got to shout. I believe you got the right sword. I believe you got the right soldiers. I believe you got the right thing to shout about. I do. Some people don't know what to shout about, and they shout more than we do. But I believe we got the right sermons coming out too. I believe we got the right leader. You know what that trumpet is? Isaiah 59. I believe it's 59. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and tell my people Israel their sins and Jacob her transgressions. You know what that trumpet is? That trumpet is sermons. Gospel sermons and Bible sermons, buddy. Preaching is what America needs. I believe we got the right preacher. I believe you got the right sermons. I believe God's given you a leader that's going to take you to another level. That's what I believe. You say, I don't believe. I believe that. But there's one thing holding the gospel back. There's one thing keeping the victory from happening. We all have a responsibility to do it. A lot of us neglect our response, absolve ourselves from it, and think we don't have to do this. The vessel. We've got to take that light, that lantern, and put it inside the pitcher. It's not see-through. This is how the victory is going to be won according to the Bible. You put the lantern inside the pitcher in the middle of the night. This is how you're going to get it. And you blow the trumpet. That's preaching. You blow the trumpet, you scare them to death. And you shout. That'll scare people too, amen. The sword of the Lord in a Gideon. And then at that simultaneous moment, you got to break the pitcher. The pitcher's got to be broken. We got a light on the inside. We got something wonderful on the inside. Unfortunately, I do a lot of witnessing, and I've done a lot in the past, I'm ashamed to admit it, where the light never got out. You can give the right message, you can give it gun barrel straight, and you give the right presentation. I'm all for it. Get it right. Their life, their soul depends on it. But you can be as straight as a gun barrel doctrinally and as empty as one spiritually. Paul said, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. He said, it just wasn't words. There was some feel in it. The Holy Ghost was in it. Vessel's got to be broken. Vessel's got to be broken. You want to get around it. You don't want God to break you. I don't want to pray that way. Every time I ever got close to God, brother, I may not know God. But every time when I got saved as a 12-year-old boy, I don't think you got to have tears when you get saved, but it's nice when you see it once in a while, amen. I remember when I got saved, I was weeping my eyes out. My tears didn't get me saved, but somebody came inside of me, and it did something to me, and it broke me. You get close to God, it'll break you. One girl told me, teenage girl, she said, the closer I get to God, the greater I feel I am. I'm thinking, you don't know God. The closer I get to God, the more wicked I realize I am. New Testament story. They won the battle. Just that quick. They gone from the bottom to the top. The vessel got broken at just the right moment. What's the New Testament illustration? Well, I don't know of a better one than the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he had on the inside of him? Stay with me now. We're almost done. I want y'all two teenagers to come up here. Chad and Jara. You know what Jesus had on the inside of him? He had a treasure. It's called the precious blood. Come on up here. Yeah. Don't be afraid. He had precious blood inside of him. Nobody knew what was inside of Jesus when he was a little baby. But you get your blood, they say you get your body and bone structure from your mom. And even if you have a different blood type than your dad, medically speaking, they say you get your blood from your dad. They didn't find that out till just M.R. DeHaan wrote a book called The Chemistry of the Blood. He's a doctor before he got going. Jesus had something so precious inside of him. He didn't get it from his earthly father. He didn't have an earthly father. He got it from his heavenly father. Are you listening? It's called the precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And he got his blood from his daddy. And that blood is so perfect and so pure and so holy. It's not like Adam's blood and my blood and your blood. It's so perfect that it can wash the dirtiest sin you've ever committed right away. Make you white as snow. Are you listening to me? Tell me this. Could Jesus, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious, I fear God. And I love His Son Jesus. But could have Jesus got you saved and got me saved if He would have just come to the earth for 33 years and done miracles? And been a good man? Said He went about doing good. He was a perfect man. Ain't nobody touch it. I mean, you talk about a record, man. He went 33 years without sin. Ain't nobody ever touched that record. I can't go 33 minutes. I can't go 33 seconds. Say amen right there. Jesus went 33 years. Hey, He could have come down and lived a perfect life and ascended back to heaven. And we would have all died and gone to hell unless He was willing to get broken. You know, He said the night before He died, it was the reason He was born. There's something on the inside. God's got something on now inside of you. It's called the Holy Spirit. It's perfect. Jesus is inside of you. Is it in you? Jesus had to be willing. The night before He died, He said, "This is my body, which will be broken for you." And then He said, after the body gets broken, then what's inside comes out. "This is my blood that'll be shed for you." It's called the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. You tell me how you would have got saved if somebody hadn't been willing to be broken. We went to Colorado. We had 11 young people, whatever. Started out with 8, and then we got 3 more. We got to Colorado. We didn't know it had Colorado Springs has the second largest Satanist church in America in it. Dr. Matt Miller, you pray for their ministry. The night before we got there, they raided. They had 6 buses. They took out 3 of their buses. It's on the highest hill in that city, overlooking Colorado Springs. Beautiful building God gave him. His dad used to preach with Dr. Hiles almost every month, 2-3 days every month. Dean Miller. Matt Miller's got that work now. Your pastor knows him. The night before our group got there, we're going to go soul winning. We're kicking off Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then we're going to go soul winning 2-3 days. They raided the buses, busted out the windows, graffiti all over them, slashed the tires, messed the whole thing. And they couldn't even run the buses that next morning. Men in the church are working guard around the clock trying to keep those people off of there. It's crazy stuff, weird stuff. We go, we preach Sunday, preach Monday. Monday morning in the Christian school, we preached hard. And we're going to meet their teenagers at 3 o'clock. Our young people have gone all across America. I mean, come all the way to Colorado. Some of them have never been out of Texas. Jera's been with me. Jera Wido. I like her last name. Jera, she's been with me 5 straight years. She's the only one. We used to take a lot of college students, and she was like a 12-year-old. She had a 13-year-old brother. And they'd both go with us every summer. And I've watched her. She's bold as a lion. She get out on parking lot. She witnessed to anybody. See them get saved. Just about, I believe God can use you if you're just surrendered to Him and you're clean. Dress right. Do what the preacher says. Pray. Ask God. And open your mouth. God can see a lot. You can see a lot of people get saved. You know, I've seen one time where she had 17 people that she led to Christ. Teenage girl, when she was 15, she had 17 people kid never tell you, 17 teenagers older than her that she led to Christ that day that she brought down the aisle that night. They walked down the aisle to get ready for baptism. Teenage girl. We're going to meet them at 3, and they said, and I said, y'all want to go back to the and spend some time just hanging out and reading your Bible and stuff like that, and we're going to go at 3, and then it's going to start, man. We're going to be going all evening. And those young people said, no, I want to go soul winning. I didn't come to Colorado Springs to sit around. So we started getting out of the bus and started went, and she had a girl with her, and he had a boy with him, and we had several young men, young ladies going, young preacher boys. This is a young preacher boy, amen? Name's Chad. Jared got out. She got out 9 straight times out of the bus, knocked on doors, came back in for 2 hours. We didn't see one person saved. You ever been soul winning and you just shoot bricks? You adjust your shot and it still doesn't go in? Everybody you talk to is like talking to a wall? She said, don't worry about it. I'll get somebody. I'm ready to go. I've been praying. And Jared Widow, she said, oh, there's 2 ladies right there. Let me get out. She took a girl with her. She said, I'll get them. 2 ladies looked like nice ladies. They were real nice ladies. They're walking down the sidewalk. They're in a pretty nice addition there, like y'all got around here. 2 nice ladies. Jared gave them a track. They threw the track down or whatever. They said, get that junk out of our face, girl. We're Satanists. I don't want to hear it. Tell them what they said. You do that, you don't have to.
I got out of the bus because I was very excited about going, and it was our first day of the soul winning marathon, and we were all excited, and I had gotten out a few times, and the people just didn't take the tracks, and they didn't want it. But this particular lady, there was 2 ladies walking down the road, and they were in scrubs, and they looked like really nice ladies, so I hopped out of the bus, and I asked them if they were 100% sure if they died today, they'd go to heaven. And the lady said, no, we're going to hell. And she started laughing about it, like it was okay.
Jerry came back. She don't usually at a loss for words. She came back to the bus, and I saw her and her friend, and they were just in shock. We heard all kinds of stuff, but some people are hard. Yeah. She hit it. And the lady told her, I'm going to hell, and I'm going to take people with me. Get out of here. Jared got back on the bus and just started. She stepped on the bus. He started bawling. Preacher, she said, Freddie, Brother Reed, that lady's going to hell. Those 2 ladies are going to hell. And they're laughing about it, and they don't care. And the truth is, I don't really care like I ought to either. I'm not going to get back out of this bus till I'm right with the Lord. I'm not going to get back out of this bus till I pray a while. She went back to the back of the bus. God gave us this incredible, there's no way we got this. She goes back there, and the girls get on one side, and they start praying. The boys, we just pulled the bus out. We just had a prayer meeting for a while. We need to pray, folks. You understand what I'm saying? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. What's that all about? He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Sometimes the problem is not them. Sometimes, most of the time, almost every time, it's us. We prayed for about 40 minutes, something like that. The Lord smote my heart. He said, you ain't right with me. You ain't spent time praying like you should. You preach it, but you don't live it. We prayed. Guess what? We had about 20, 30 more minutes before it was time to meet those young people at that youth group. Had about 30 of them that went out with us there. In the last 30 minutes, everybody we talked to got saved. They got on the bus, and we all got together. Their buses got crashed out, and I said, well, get on my bus. God gave me this bus for my family. God gave me this bus for soul winning. They got on, about 40 young people on my bus. They was packed in there. We didn't let the girls touch the boys. They don't look at the boys. The boys don't look at the girls. I said, listen, you cut up your teenagers. You can cut up anywhere you want to, but you ain't going to cut up on my bus. I don't know why I said that. I could have lost my love offering, amen? I said, you shut up, and you bow your head, and you pray. And we're going to go to a park, and we're going to go public places, and we're going to hit doors, and we did all the above. And I said, but we're going to pray before we get there. I don't want to hear nobody laughing. I don't want you hearing them talking about the Mavericks. I like talking about them, amen? I don't want you praying. We just started praying. People started getting saved everywhere. That afternoon, old Chad, he'd been sowing. He's a young preacher. He's on fire. Old Chad, we wind up in a park. People getting saved in this park. He's praying, God, lead us to somebody that's under conviction. I heard him pray it. Lead me to somebody that wants to know how to get saved. What was that guy's name?
Santos.
Chad's 15, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Santos is 23.
Yes.
Colorado Springs. He's in a park, pretty rough looking unit. But he's walking through a park. And it's the funniest thing. Guy's got a Bible. You don't have a Bible with you when you're in a park if you're 23 years old. It's like the Ethiopian eunuch. This guy's got a Bible in his car, man. He's sitting there wanting to get saved. And what, the day before? His mother died the day before. Chad's up. Here's the question you ask. If you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? That'd shock you if your mother just died the day before. That's the question. Don't ask them if they're a Christian. Everybody's a Christian. You got to ask the right question. He asked him, and he starts taking him through the plan. No, I'm not, but I want to be. He interrupts. Does he interrupt you? What does he say?
He says, sir, I've been wondering about this. I have a Bible, but I don't understand it. And my mom just passed away, and he started crying. So, well, you're going to pass away one day, and we got to get through this, or, you know, everybody's going to die one day and go to heaven or hell. He's like, all right, let's get through this. We got through it, and at the end, he told me the rest of the story. He said, my mom died. She left me a Bible. And his carrying around was a purple Bible. So, all right, well, let's see, what do you guys say? And he said, well, I stayed up all night. And at 4 o'clock, I finally went to sleep. And he said, I've been wondering how to get to heaven, but I can't understand the Bible. I said, well, did I help you here? And he said, yes. I said, are you saved? He said, yes. I said, how did you get saved? He said, through Jesus. And he said, my mom would have been proud. And it had in the Bible, it said, first Santos, you need to get saved, and then you need to get in a church. You need to raise your family there, and you need to be a good husband. And the Bible will teach you how to be a good husband and how to work hard. And it just had this huge list on it.
He hit pay dirt.
Amen.
That's the end zone, man. He scored. The guy, he's got a Bible, races out to his car, says, you got to see this. My mom died yesterday and left me this. Want to get saved. Folks, they're all around. You're not going to get them unless you pray. The Bible said the Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart. The Lord is nigh to them of a broken. You know what we're missing? We're missing the tears. We're this close to seeing this city reached. We're this close. I mean, it's just the only thing holding us back is this vessel. We don't want to be broken. Jesus said, I'll be broken. I'll be broken. I got something on the inside that they need. He just looked like the average man on the outside. You know what Paul said? He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But he was emotional. Oh, we don't need emotional. We just go through the plan and we're robotic. Look out. He was the happiest man you'd ever meet. He was a soul winner. You know what he turned around and said in Romans 9? You use Romans 10, that's where I wind up with them, man. You know, he said in Romans 9, he said, the happiest man you ever met. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He says, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. I could wish myself a curse for Christ, my kinsman according to the flesh. That man was broken. He said, I warned him day and night with tears. I'm going to challenge you to do something this year. I'm going to challenge you. It's not easy for me either. I'm going to challenge you to pray when you get in your car. You're driving out and you're walking through the neighborhood. This ain't no game. You're a young person. You like to laugh. I know that. But man, you know the divine formula? Sow in tears and reap in joy. Go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, and you'll come again rejoicing. We ought to be laughing and rejoicing and shouting when we come back. But we ought to go out praying, asking God to help us. begging God, your preacher wouldn't get away with it if he got in the pulpit. And he had all the right words, but his heart wasn't right. He hadn't prayed before he got. You know how to check him out. You love him because he's ready. I don't like cold pancakes. I like pancakes, you can tell. I like it hot. And we need you, if you're giving the message, we need you with tears. It could change. It may be the only thing that gets them. Maybe the only thing that gets them. Let's bow our heads and pray. The only thing holding the gospel back. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Asking the musicians to come. Y'all can get a seat there. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just straight to you tonight. You're saved. You got the